I want you to take your Bibles and go to Exodus. Exodus. This is a message that I've preached before, probably two times before. And as I was thinking about my Sunday night messages and kind of the topics that we were covering, and I thought this would be a good thing for us to consider in regards to dealing with some of the pressures and battles and temptations and trials of life. Last week we talked about having hope within these trials. And today I want to look at an example that we have in the book of Exodus, chapter 5, in regards to what happens when our burdens become increased. And so basically here with this message, it's called Increased Burdens. A Christian faces all kinds of pressures in life, and you know that. The world itself is putting all kinds of pressures on you. And you probably feel that more than perhaps a lost person that you work with or so forth, because you know, like I said this morning, you have this dichotomy. You've got a battle. You've got another army that's fighting. And the devil's fighting always against that in your life. And he uses the pressures of life. He uses the situations of life. But the great thing is because we're born again, we have the ability to handle it better than the lost person does. And that's really what the Lord trying to accomplish. And that's why the Bible says that we ought to be ready to have an answer to every man that asketh of the hope that lies within us. And that's in the context of pressures and battles. As we're responding correctly to the things around us, we ought to be ready because we're showing hope, right? And they're wondering, why do you feel such hope? I mean, when you're at a funeral and you've got a loved one that you're burying and so forth, and yet you can handle that, and you can because of hope for the future and hope for what the Lord has done in that person's life. You know you're going to see them again if they're born again, and people have a hard time getting their head around that. And so on the norm, we are constantly facing pressure. There also comes a time when you have had an issue in your life that you're trying to get free of, a very specific thing. And then you try seeking to get free of that and looking for answers. What you immediately find is that Satan responds by making things harder for you. And that's what we're learning here in this passage that I'm going to read for you today. And what I want to do is I'm going to read the whole chapter, chapter 5, verse 1 to 23. And then we're going to look at some of the principles from this passage. And I think it'll help us in the way we handle some of the increased burdens in our life. And so verse number 1, it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I shall obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." The world has no fear of God, and you need to know that. You can say, well, I'm doing this because God told me to, and they really don't care. You can say, well, I don't work on Sundays because this is the Lord's Day. I want to make sure that I'm getting fed from the Word of God. I'm going to church and so forth. And you know something? The world doesn't care. The world doesn't care. You know, I remember one time, it's very interesting. I had one fella that was in the church in my first ministry there. And his employer began to put a lot of pressure on him to start working on Sundays. And this church member, who was a good man, but yet at the same time, he failed to take his own stand on it. And so what he did is he told his boss to call me. And so here I had to answer why it was that one of our church members doesn't have to work on Sundays. Now, that's not a good thing to do. Now, I can help you with that answer. But the thing is, if you don't have the strength to stand on the principles on your own, it doesn't matter what I say, you're going to cave under that pressure, you know. And this employer knew that. And even when I told him the principles that I knew of, to him, it was nothing. And he was Catholic and he had religion, but that's not good enough for me. And so I'm thinking, well, what am I going to argue with you? It's not my problem. Now, if I'm supposed to be working on Sunday, then we got a fight on our hands. But this man, he's got to fight his own battle. And you need to make those kind of decisions. You need to understand when you make a decision and you try to do right for the Lord, you will have an increased pressure put on you. And if that scares you, and if that to you is a sign that, oh, I shouldn't be following God, well, don't even start, because this is the reality. This is just the way it is. And we're going to have to go through things like this. And that's what this passage is really talking about. Pharaoh has no fear of God. I mean, he doesn't care who God is. He's, I don't know this God. I'm the only God I know, and you ought to listen to me. And that's the way the world responds. In verse number 2, it says, or verse number 3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick. As heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, and when there was straw, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making bricks both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? In fact, the people are kind of, what are you doing to us here? We don't get this. And there is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet ye shall deliver the tail of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you would just give wisdom as I bring forth this message, that it would come forth in clarity and would help us understand some of the burdens and trials that we go through and how we can handle them and the reasons why we have to go through them. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here we have the people, because of this added pressure, the first response is to blame. They blame the world for their burdens. They blame their leadership for their burdens. They did not want to be a horde. They didn't want to be offensive in the eyes of Pharaoh. They were looking for an easy way to become free. Amen? And that's exactly what was going on here. They wanted Pharaoh to respect them. And they were offended at this way that Moses was choosing to get freedom for the people of Israel. Moses himself was baffled. You can tell that by his questions. He didn't know what God was doing. But at least Moses did the right thing. He turned to God and he talked to him about it. He asked him. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Even in our confusion, our doubt, we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on here? I mean, I need to understand why this is happening the way it is. How I ought to handle this And what are you trying to accomplish here? Amen. And the Lord will give us that answer. In fact, in Exodus 5:22, when Moses returned unto the Lord and said, number one, this is his first question. Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Good question. Why is such evil happening to us now when we're just simply obeying you? Amen. Second question is, why is it that thou hast sent me? Why am I here in the midst of this? I mean, obviously the people are not liking me now. It's not being accomplished what you want to accomplish. I'm very confused about this. And so that was the way he responded. These two questions are important. Why have you allowed our burdens to increase? And why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we going through this? Amen. So Exodus chapter 6 actually has the answers to these questions. He said, the burdens are increasing, but I don't see any change yet. This is where many Christians backtrack for the sake of peace. Amen. That means if we make a decision for God, whether it be in a altar call or whether it be at home or whatever it is, a special service, a conference, we decide we're going to do something different. And you know what? The devil responds and he puts the pressure on. And immediately we stand back. Whoa, I didn't ask for this. We're looking for an easy way to accomplish what God is trying to accomplish in our life. We don't want any hassles. Amen. And that's just not the way it works. That's not the way it works. We're going to have to go through some things. So let's ask this first question. Let's find the answer. Why the Lord allows our burdens to increase. Now, the first thing is this. The Lord heard their prayers and saw their burdens and their afflictions. And if you go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse number 7, it said, and the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So he knew that. He'd already heard. He heard the prayers. He knew the afflictions. He knew the pressures they were going through. That's the first thing we got to get settled in our own lives. The Lord knows. It's not a surprise to him. It's not like, oh man, I didn't realize they were going to do that. The Lord knew. He is answering your initial problem, and that is your bondage issue. That's what he's addressing here. That's what he's dealing with. God has moved for you. He's reaching into your life, and the result is a spiritual reprisal from the devil and the world. This is a part of God caring for you. Amen? That's a part of God caring for you. It's going to happen. The devil is responding to God's move. Amen. There's a spiritual battle going on there. This isn't just about bricks. There was far more going on with the children of Israel than just the Pharaoh and bricks. There was a spiritual battle going on. The devil was responding to God's move to deliver Israel. Amen. It's a bigger battle than we like to admit. If you ever lifted up your voice to heaven and said, Lord, help me, you can be sure that God heard you. Maybe the situations in your life are simply God's answer to the prayer. You say, man, ever since I prayed, things have been going upside down. You know, well, that just may be God moving on your behalf. See, the Lord saw the affliction, so we can feel so alone in our trials. But the truth is that the Lord does know what you're going through. The Lord heard your cries in the bondage, and the increased burden of God working in our lives is far better than a sorrow of living a life apart from God. Amen. We do not know sometimes when we are brokenhearted and seeking help from God exactly how God will answer that cry, but He will. We do have to realize that God is not just interested in delivering us. He is looking for a relationship with His people. And He wants us to know that true freedom comes when we know and trust God. That's what it's about. And so we many times look at things very simply. We say, oh, I don't like this situation. Lord, get me out of this. The Lord's looking down saying, this is an opportunity to get you closer to me. And that's what I want. Amen. And so it takes pressure sometimes. It takes the battles of life for that to happen. And so God's far above our situation. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. So the Lord hears your prayers. He knows your burdens. The Lord also reveals His power through our burdens. Amen. This is something we need to understand. And look at verse number 1 of chapter 6. It says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." I mean, we're just looking, Lord, you don't need to prove anything to me. I mean, that's just great. I mean, if you could just kind of get us out of here, I really don't care. But the Lord says, no. If I'm going to do something here, I'm going to do it with a strong hand, And so we know this, that when we're getting freedom, what the Lord is doing is He's working in our life and delivering us. But it's not going to be just as this piddly little deliverance here. He wants to do it with a strong hand. And so He wants to show His power. We have no power over these world systems. None of them. We are under so much, we are so limited in what we can do. We cannot move mountains on our own. We cannot move hearts. We cannot change things. But God can. And in God doing these things and moving these things in the way that He does is showing us how great and powerful He really is. In fact, the plagues, the 10 plagues that we're talking about here in Egypt, each one of those is showing Egypt how powerful God is. They would worship the frog as a god. He says, "Here, I'll send you frogs." And they're going to stink. Amen. They're going to pile up and stink. And so He's showing them the cattle. They worship their cattle. They worshiped all kinds of gods. And every one of those God showed Himself stronger in. Amen. Just to show them, hey, I am God. Repent and come to me. But Pharaoh, of course, would not. His heart was hard. And so Pharaoh would not recognize God and therefore would not submit. This world does not recognize our God either and will not submit to Him. And things may get worse for Christians, but through it all, keep in mind that God is sovereign over the kingdom of men. He is sovereign over the kingdom of men. Amen. I mean, our government, they can do a lot of things, but they cannot overpower our God. Nothing's going to go beyond what He dictates it to go. Amen. Now, the Lord needs to convince us that His power is greater than the power of the world. That's something He needs to do. He's not just going to keep, you know, whenever we got an issue, oh, here, and just throw it out there. Every time He delivers us with a strong hand, He is going to show you how much greater He is than the things that we have grown up trusting in our personal lives. Because He is trying to convince Israel of something too, not just Egypt. He's trying to teach them, and for the next several years, He's going to continue to try to teach them by His strong hand. The Lord needs to convince us. 1 John 4:4, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Are we convinced of that, really? Do we really believe that the power of God within us is greater than the power that's in this world? That we can overcome the temptations and the pressures and the different things that are coming up against us because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory? Do we show that to others? See, this is what it's all about. This is about our showing it. I mean, Israel is showing that they did not believe this. They thought the answer was in pleasing Pharaoh. This is how we're going to. If we just do what Pharaoh wants, then he'll let us go. That's not true. The world will not compromise. The world is not reformable. Amen. You'll never reform this world. I feel real sorry for these churches that believe in amillennialism. And they believe that somehow we're in this 1,000-year reign already and the kingdom is being established. Folks, they're going to be utterly disappointed because the longer we go on here, the more you're going to see that this world has nothing to do with the kingdom of Christ. And you're not going to change their mind. You're not going to influence in such a way that the governments are going to turn to God and revival will happen to our governments. You may have revivals in your churches. You may have revivals in the people, in your city, you know. But you will not bring a reformation of this system. It has to be totally destroyed. And that's what Jesus Christ will do when he sets up his kingdom at the beginning of his kingdom. Amen. That's why we believe in a pre-millennial return of Christ. That thousand-year reign happens after Jesus Christ returns. And there's so many movements. And folks, you just need to open your eyes a little bit out there. When you see these kingdom churches, they're believing that they're in the millennium. They're believing that God has taxed them with the duty to bring the kingdom into this world. And folks, it's impossible. Our only duty is to reflect the character of the kingdom, of course, and to recruit citizens into the kingdom. But that kingdom will only come to pass when Jesus Christ comes, who is the King. Amen. And we need to be settled on that. That's our doctrine here. That's what we believe with all of our hearts. So, yeah, I'm not going to change on that. And I'll have people coming in. I've already have challenging me. And I'm saying, this is the way we are. I'm not going to listen to your sources of truth here. I'm not interested in battling that. This is what we are. You choose it or reject it. Amen. I'm settled on this. This is what we are. Amen. We're not sitting here in the limbo question stage developing our doctrine. There's many things we've already got pretty well settled in regards to what we're doing here. And any church that's being established, I sure hope that they would have some things established before they begin the work. Because it opens the door to all kinds of influence if you don't. Amen? Because you need to stand when those influences come. Anyways, let's move on. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. The Lord was seeking to show Israel that he had power over these oppressive rulers. Don't let the increased burdens cause you to turn against the Lord's principles that guide your lives for your good. Saul thought about that when he was told to go into Amalek and destroy all the Amalekites. The pressure from the people and the political pressure. Well, you know, why do we got to kill everybody? He thought maybe it'd be an advantage to keep the king. And obviously there were more that he didn't destroy. There really was. The Lord knew what he was doing when he said destroy them all. The Amalekites are destroyers of Israel. They have always been and they will always be. It's not going to change. And in fact, the descendants, if you go to the book of Esther, and the Bible says, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Agagite. What king was it that Saul let live at first? Well, King Agag. Amen. And it said, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. It's interesting when you begin to look at history and how these people have come from these different tribes and so forth. There was even assassination squads that were Amalekites in the Second World War hired by Hitler. Amalekites. The Palestinian Front, the leaders of this are Amalekites. These are people that will never submit to Israel and to their land. I mean, Trump, I give him credit. He wants to do some good things over there. But going over there and saying, have a peace plan, is not going to bring a peace plan because their hand is against them and you will not stop that. And the Lord knew that, and it was because of the pressure of the day that Saul did not do what he was told to do. And that's exactly how the devil works in our lives, is when he puts pressure on us, he wants us to compromise, and we don't realize that the cost of that comes later on in life. Getting on the principles and not living by the principles. Amen. In our families and so on and on. Amen. Same with our churches. We have to take certain stands. They're not popular sometimes. There's separation issues. They're not popular sometimes. But God knows some things He knows exactly some things that we can't even imagine right now. We can guess by the principle itself, but he knows exactly how it's going to play out if we compromise. So we don't. And that keeps us right, and it keeps our church strong, and it keeps us moving forward for God. Amen? Very important that we take note of these kind of things. The Lord wants us to trust. Sorry, I'm in the wrong part here. So we as Christians many times turn away from God's principles when the world turns up the pressure. We stop going to church because of family pressure. We stop witnessing because of people pressure. We move to where we think there is money because of financial pressure. We sacrifice ministry and church and our family for that. We stop witnessing because we don't like people, how they respond to us sometimes. We need to remember that we are to keep Christ preeminent in our lives, trusting for his provision when times seem dark. That's the time that you show your faith. It's harder to show your faith when everything's going good. But when things are dark, that's when your faith comes to light. Amen? Colossians 1:16 talks about by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We also see in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Amen. That heart is in the hand of God. No matter who you're dealing with, we were dealing with judges. Remember, we were praying for that RCMP officer. What can I do? I mean, what can I really do for this person? What could he do? And he's smack dab in the middle of it. There's nothing he can do, but you can turn to God, and God has the heart of the king in his hand, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. And I'm sure that was a terrible ordeal for them to go through. It was a terrible thing for them to face. But at the same time, God is showing how powerful he is and turning the hearts of the people involved. Amen. And I guarantee you that faith has been built in this situation, not only in him, but in others surrounding the situation as well. Very important that we consider these things. The Lord also, the third point is, the Lord reveals his person. So he reveals his power, and he reveals his person. The Lord has to teach us who he is, and how he can deliver us no matter the opposition. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 6 of Exodus. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. This is interesting. The word Jehovah means self-existent. Abraham knew God, but not in the way that Moses was introduced to him and the way that Israel was about to get to know him. Amen? The Almighty God, in fact, the word for that, El Shaddai, is kind of a word that means like a mother taking care of a baby. That I'm feeding the baby, I'm taking care of the baby. And this is how Abraham got to know his Lord, his God. And God is saying, this is how Abraham knew me, and this is how Isaac and Jacob knew me, but by Jehovah, they've not known me. By the self-existent one, they have not known me. They haven't understood the extent of what I can do. And I'm showing you that within this situation. Amen? So what we learn from this is the increased burdens, what it does is it begins to reveal God to you. You begin to know him, and in a more clearer way than you've known him before. Amen? And that's important to understand because Abraham knew God, but not in the way Moses was introduced to him. The scriptures show us progressive revelation even as our own growth is progressive. Amen?
Isn't it interesting how God knew that with us? He knew that he couldn't just say, oh, this is who I am, Genesis 1, boom. He would just, whoa, that is too much at one time. But throughout the scriptures, the Lord is revealing himself little by little. The veil is coming off of who he is all the way into the New Testament when you finally see the revelation of God to mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then finally, in the complete book of the Revelation, which we have not seen yet, he says, you are going to see me in a way that you've never seen me before. And I'm just telling you about it. And even the description in the Word of God about what Jesus Christ is going to be like is awesome. But folks, to be able to see this before our eyes is greater than anything any prophet of the Old Testament has ever seen. That revelation of God to mankind. Awesome. Amen. Moses wouldn't dream of what we're going to see and what we've been given in the Word of God. He would be, wow, can't believe it. This is what's going to happen. This is what Jesus is going to do. This is who he is. This is how he responds. Amen. And so the scriptures are full of progressive revelation about God. And that's the same way it is with you as you read through the scriptures. The Lord is teaching you as you read from Genesis and Exodus, and you're learning more and more, and you're growing in your knowledge of the Lord. And because that's why you got to be reading this book first off, is to know God. The second thing is to know yourself in light of God. Amen. In all reality. And within that comes salvation. Within that comes growth. Within that comes blessing and all the different things of protection. Everything you see there. And God, of course, is revealing himself in every aspect, in different parts of the scripture, in relation to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, Jehovah Rapha, right? And so he's revealing himself as the shepherd in relation to us. This is my name in relation to you. The Almighty God, Abraham, in relation to you. Jehovah, Israel, in relation to you. Self-existent. In other words, I don't need Pharaoh for anything. All his power is not in any way contributing to what I'm giving to you. Pharaoh is underneath my thumb. He could have at any moment wiped Egypt off the map. That was not God's plan. He had a greater plan because within the process of it all, he was looking at his people and saying, I want you to know me. Amen. Look at your trials. Look at the next time you're trying to get free of a certain issue in your life. Or I want to grow, Lord. I want to start reading my Bible more. I want to pray more. What's the first thing that happens? The phones ring more. The distractions. I mean, the shifts. I get more shifts than I've ever gotten before in my life. And now I can't do everything I wanted to do. And I really just wanted to sell it to God and so forth. Amen. That's how it is. That's how it is. And God was going to use that to show himself to you. Exodus 6, verse number 6, it says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Notice all these I's here. I am the Lord. And even underline that. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Look at verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people. Notice what it says. And I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. What do you think he's trying to get across here? Amen. I think he's trying to get across that basically the answer to this whole issue is that he will. He will. He will do it. Amen. I will. I will. I will. It's not just, oh, Israel, you know, you do this. I'll do this. No, no. This whole thing was, I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. He says, tell this to the people. Amen. So what is it that we need to know in the midst of our burdens? I will, I will, I will. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will what? Do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Number one, underneath this point, the Lord reveals his person. The Lord wants us to know he is our only true help. Psalm 83:18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. He was going to personally expose the false gods of Egypt and show himself to be the one that has no power above him. All the things that Egypt worshipped. The Nile River, the frogs themselves, the cattle, the sun will be shown to be under the power of God. When increased burdens come into our life, God wants to show himself more powerful over these things. The Lord wants us to trust in his strength. In Isaiah 12 verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Rivers become polluted. Frogs begin to stink. Cattle die. The sun can turn back. But our God will always be God, because he's not relying on any power to exist outside of himself. The sooner we know Jehovah for who he is, the sooner we will trust him for our sufficiency. Amen. Isaiah 26 verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Corrie ten Boom, the Holocaust survivor, said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Amen. That's so good. I love her testimony too. I don't know if you're familiar with her. I got a little testimony about her at the end of this message. Who Israel knew as their God is in reality far less than what we know about our God. Think about this. They knew him as Jehovah. We know him as Jehovah and Jesus Christ. We have known his walk, his talk, his heart has been revealed to us. The burdens are just there to prove who Jesus is to you. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. You look at that in relation to Egypt. The Lord says, hey, you may have some increased things going on there, but ultimately, my burden is lighter than what you've been going through. Amen. The fourth point I want to bring across is the Lord fulfills his promise. The Lord was proving his faithfulness to his word. We simply need to trust him through the burdens we must bear. Exodus, look at verse number 4 of chapter 6. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I've remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretch out arm and with great judgments. God desires to bring us into his will. He promises us eternal life, but also abundant life. Israel will get their land when they finally trust Christ. We will get our land, God's will, when we finally trust Christ in our daily lives. We have promises just like Israel. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What part of that don't we understand? What part of that promise somehow seems shaky? Because he says he will perform it. That's why I like about messages that I preached this morning. You know, looking at the beginning and the end of the equation here. Sure, in the middle of it, in all the doubt and the battles, we look at this and I wonder how this is going to turn out. But we know he will perform it. It is going to be completed. He is going to do what he said he's going to do. He will fulfill his promise. He made a covenant to Israel. Even Joseph believed that. Joseph made a command. He says, when you guys leave back to the promised land, take my bones with you. When Moses took the children of Israel, you know what? He went and got Joseph's casket and he carried it along. He says, because you know what? This man had faith. In fact, that statement was placed in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says that Joseph had faith, telling them, take my bones. It was a statement of faith. Amen. And that's the same way we ought to be when we go through things in life. We ought to stop giving up on things and quitting and saying, it's not worth it, and let's just quit and give up on God. He made some promises. He said He's going to fulfill them. What kind of people are we as children of God if we don't believe what God has simply said in His Word? We have to take these things seriously. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That word heaviness, that can be everything from discouragement, that could be depression, that can be whatever you're talking about, man. We go through heaviness. There are things we go through in life and say, man, Lord, I trust you, but I cannot handle this. This is hard, Lord. He says, hey, rejoice in that because you know you are kept by the power of your God. Amen. Isn't that exciting? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that the promises always end up at the second coming of Jesus Christ? That's where it all comes to pass. That's where the whole thing comes to an end. That's where all the battles stop. That's where all the sanctification ends. That's where all the work has been done. That's when everything, all of our tears have been shed. All, you know, all the feelings are gone. We are standing there in victory with Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, now if you believe me, if I have found faith in you, I am going to bless you in a powerful way. If not, I can see it already. Some of you, your eyes are pointing at the ground and they're not looking me in the eye. Amen. Quitters. He says, I love you, but you're quitters. I told you I'd finish it. I told you I'd come again. I told you it would be done. You're a quitter. Boy, that would be a shame, wouldn't it? The Lord fulfills His promises. So, that was the first question. You know, why the increased burdens, God? Well, so I can show you my power, I can reveal my person, and I can fulfill my promise. Amen? Then the second question is, why are we here? I mean, why am I here, God? I mean, here I thought things are going to happen. You know, every preacher is asking that. You know, Lord, it seems like we're losing more people than getting them. Why are we here, Lord? Well, we're here to fulfill His purpose. Verse number 7, chapter 6, and I will take you for me for a people, and I'll be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I'll bring you into the land, concerning the which I did swear to give unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'll give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Moses, you're there to fulfill a purpose. Israel, God wants to bring you into the land so He can fulfill His purpose. The Bible says in Isaiah 42, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Why is He bringing these people to this promised land? He cares about the world. He loved the Egyptians. I mean, maybe we don't, when we hear the stories. But you know, the Lord's heart was for these people. He loves them. In fact, during the millennial reign, Egypt will be a major country within the 1,000-year reign. Syria as well. He loves the Syrians. The Bible says it's going to be a highway that runs from Syria all the way through to Egypt, right through the promised land. He loves these people, and God's got a plan and a purpose, and He's working out. He wanted to use Israel for a light to the world. He had to increase their burdens to reveal His power. Moses said, I don't see any change except for an increased burden in our lives. The Lord says, trust me that I can show the world my power. God needs to prepare us to be used in a special way, representing Him to this world. This is what the past is for. Every experience God has given us, every person He puts in our lives is the perfect preparation for the future that only He can see. Amen? You say, well, I really don't like my upbringing. But you need to understand, and if we're going to see God's plan worked out, that all those things you've gone through, all your past is a preparation for a powerful future. And the sooner we see that, the sooner we can get on with our life here to get peace in your life. Understand that this is a part of God's plan for my life, to allow this. Amen. In fact, one of the things this morning when I was confronted about this person that had walked away from God, they said he did that because he says, why would a God allow this world to suffer the way it has? He's missing everything. All he's seeing is suffering. And as a preacher, he should be ashamed of himself, because that suffering all is there in a life of a believer to make a brighter light for the lost. And it's sad. It's really sad that he turned on that. The world will react to your Christianity, but make sure you do not react to their reaction like Israel did. The burdens are a way that God shows he is more powerful than the world in your life. When you trust him through the battle you're facing today, you'll become more prepared to fulfill his purpose. That's why in Philippians 4:4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I like the passage. The passage is telling you he's going to give me peace as I deliver these burdens to him. But he doesn't say, I'm going to make the burdens less. That's not what he says in this passage. He says, I'll give you peace. Most of us say, you keep the peace, just take away the burden. You know, he says, no. I'm leaving the burden, but I'm going to give you peace in the midst of the burden. Amen. That's his whole purpose. Christians that know God is in control will respond like they believe God is in control. We really need to bring our burdens to the Lord in prayer and be thankful in the situation we are in. I told you there's an illustration of Corrie ten Boom. I want to give this to you, finish off this message. Corrie and her sister Betsy were held in a concentration camp known as Ravensbrück, where they lived in barracks that were plagued with lice. Lice were everywhere, in their hair, on their bodies. One day, Betsy said to her, Corrie, we need to give thanks to God for the lice. Corrie said, Betsy, you've gone too far this time. I am not going to thank God for lice. Betsy said, oh, but Corrie, the Bible tells us, in everything give thanks. Still, Corrie did not want to thank God for the lice. As it turns out, Corrie and Betsy were trying to reach the other women in their barracks with a message of the gospel. And they'd been holding Bible studies. Corrie found out later that because of the lice, the guards would not go into those barracks. And therefore, they were able to have these Bible studies. As a result, they led many of the women to the Lord. So it turns out that God can even use lice. And you know what? Corrie thanked God for the lice. I would never think she thanked God for the lice. Do you understand that? Sometimes it's just so dark, you say, there's no way, Lord. There's nothing good about this. I can't thank you in this, Lord. I can't thank you for what I've gone through in my life. I can't thank you for my past. I can't thank you in that abuse that I went through. I can see no good coming from that, even though he promised you that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. He says, if you will just thank me in that, I will free it and use it, amen, and bring a light to the world through you. See, that's faith. That's the reason we have increased burdens. That's the reason why there was lice in that barrack. Lord, why? We're faithful. We're trying to do right here. This isn't our fault that we're here. At least take away the lice. Lord, I'm not taking away the lice. I'll give you peace. How's that? But only if you give thanks. In everything you thank. And that's what it says. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and mind with thanksgiving. So I can just imagine Corrie ten Boom praying, Lord, take these lice away. No thanksgiving. No peace. But I'm sure the moment that it dawned on her and she went up to the Lord and said, Lord, thank you for the lice, that peace protected her heart. Amen. That's the believer's life. That's how we handle the burdens. What a powerful message for us. Isn't that good? Doesn't that help you? That helps me as I face things in life. It's all going to be okay. The promises will come to pass. Let's just let the Lord use this in our life. Can you thank God for your situation and receive the blessing of fulfilling your purpose in it? Amen. Isaiah 48:8. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from the time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And will not give my glory unto another. I chose thee in the furnace of affliction. Wow. So maybe it shouldn't be, Lord, take away this burden. Lord, give me grace in the midst of the pressures. Help me to respond right. Help me to be used in the midst of this. Amen. Let's bow our heads.